From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. With the nation's unemployment rate still hovering around 10%, President Obama is set to give a speech today on new government efforts to encourage job growth. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Don't expect another stimulus package with a $750 billion price tag. Instead, Mr. Obama is expected to propose some relatively modest efforts to nudge more private employers into hiring. The president's considered paying for the effort with funds left over from the bank bailout program. He says even though the bailout has helped to stabilize the financial system, many small firms are not adding workers.
Small businesses and some medium-sized businesses are still feeling a huge credit crunch. They cannot get the loans that they need to make capital investments that would allow them to then expand employment. And so that's a particular area where we might be able to make a difference.
The White House has also considered a tax credit to encourage hiring and more incentives for energy efficiency. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
Today, the Senate is expected to vote on an amendment to the health care bill that would restrict abortions. NPR's Andrea Seabrook reports.
It's the Senate version of an amendment that passed the House. There it was known as the Stupak Amendment for Michigan Democrat Bart Stupak, a Democrat who is ardently opposed to abortion. Now in the Senate, it was introduced by Nebraska's Ben Nelson and co-sponsored by Pennsylvania's Bob Casey, both anti-abortion Democrats as well. The amendment would do this. People who get government help to buy health insurance would not be able to use it to buy a plan that covers abortion. The amendment would also keep any public option from covering abortion services, except in cases of rape, incest, or if the patient's life is in danger. This language is less likely to get through the Senate, where there are fewer anti-abortion Democrats, but Republicans are likely to support it in a vote expected later today. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, the Capitol.
A series of coordinated explosions went off in Baghdad today, killing 112 people and wounding 400 others. Three cars, rigged with bombs, exploded in quick succession. Their targets were the Labor Ministry, a court complex, and the new site of Iraq's Finance Ministry, whose previous building was destroyed in a blast 4 months ago. Earlier, in southern Baghdad, a suicide bomber struck a police patrol. Meanwhile, Iraq's three-member presidential council has set March 6th as the date for the country's parliamentary elections. That's a more than seven-week delay from the initially scheduled vote. Officials were forced to postpone the elections after lawmakers spent months wrangling over a new law that provides guidelines for the vote in Iraq. Prices are lower on Wall Street at the opening. At this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 103 points to 10,287, the Nasdaq down 20 points to 2170. This is NPR News. Ohio will make history today when it uses a never-before-tested method in the execution of a death row inmate. Ohio Public Radio's Karen Kassler reports.
Ohio is switching from the fast-acting three-drug cocktail used by 35 states to a single massive dose of the powerful sedative that is part of that mix. But Prisons Director Terry Collins says the execution of Kenneth Byros will go smoothly and will be constitutional.
Is it the first in the country? Yes, but working with our litigation experts and other experts in the field, they've assured us that that will be an acceptable practice.
This would be the first execution since a botched attempt in September, when Ramel Broom was poked with needles more than 18 times as workers tried to find a good vein. The state now has a backup plan, a shot of a two-drug mix into an arm or leg muscle if a vein can't be used. But that procedure also has never been done anywhere before. For NPR News, I'm Karen Kassler in Columbus, Ohio.
The credit reporting agency TransUnion plans to issue a forecast in which it cites a further improvement in consumer credit management next year, with unemployment still an obstacle to on-time credit card payments. Credit card delinquencies are expected to continue falling through 2010, but at a much slower rate than in the past 2 years. TransUnion says that by the end of the next year, it expects 90-day delinquencies on credit cards issued by banks to drop to 1.04%. The rate was 1.1% in the third quarter of this year and is expected to drop to 1.07% by the end of this year. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News, in Washington.